Welcome to If the Jeans Fit, Learn to Love the Woman in the Mirror, hosted by Shaquelle Hibbard, registered kinesiologist and coach. Traditionally, a woman's role in society was meant to nurture and care for others. But with these conventional expectations, we have to navigate through the struggles of burnout, the constant battle of not feeling good enough, pretty enough, or thin enough, the relentless pursuit of being enough. In this podcast, we share real and raw conversations about the journey towards self-discovery, self-love, and empowerment, with holistic health at the forefront. Welcome to episode 2. Today, we're going to dive into the MOVE method. This is a 5-step method I use with all of my clients and myself to reach my goals and continue to reach my health goals. So in the past, in the present, and definitely in the future. The 5 steps include mindfulness, optimization, vitality, empowerment, and scale. Today we'll go through all 5 steps and the importance of them and why we shouldn't really skip over them if we're looking for long-term results. Beginning with mindfulness. I start with mindfulness with all of my clients. For years, I have used this. This is a stage where we take in awareness about what habits we are currently partaking in, what we like about those habits, what we don't like about those habits, and what we want to change. The point of the mindfulness stage is to get kind of a lay of the land. Getting a deeper understanding of what habits are not feeling good and what's contributing us to not feel good in our bodies and not love the woman in the mirror. A study done by the American Psychosomatic Society and the PMC Journal have long supported the correlation between mindfulness and physical health. Now, I talk a lot about holistic health, but many of my clients come to me first about physical health, specifically. I talk about emotional health, I talk about occupational health, financial health, mental health. They usually all tie in. But for the description today, we will be focusing on physical health. Now, this study done defines mindfulness as mindful awareness as a process of using one's attention to monitor one's moment-to-moment experience through an open lens of equanimity and acceptance. I would like to highlight that in this definition by the American Psychosomatic Society and the PMC Journal, include that a state of mindfulness or this stage of mindfulness is done through an open lens and with acceptance. This stage in your health journey is not meant for judgment. This is simply a lay of the land to see what is going on and what you want to change. So we go in again with open eyes, open hearts, and we accept that these are the habits you've been participating in for a while. That's okay. But if they're uncomfortable habits, now we know we need to change them. But in order to change them, we need to know. So that's stage 1, mindfulness. Stage 2 is optimization. With optimization, I like to hone in on nutrition and exercise. Every person is different. So optimizing your nutrition and your fitness and your exercise is necessary for you to be able to stick to a plan, enjoy the plan, and see the results you're looking to see. Finding optimal nutrition and exercise is something I've noticed is missing from the health and fitness industry, especially on social media. I've noticed many trends that include creating a general plan for a specific goal, and that goal usually is weight loss. And then the people that create them spread it to the masses and market this as the best diet or the best exercise plan for weight loss or for losing the stubborn tummy fat or whatever wording they may want to use. But these methods, using a general plan, it can work for some people. But if you're looking for long-term results, we need to hone in a lot deeper than that. Individuality is one of the principles of fitness training. It's important to take into account your own background with exercise, your own previous injuries, your own comfort level, what your interests are. And same with nutrition. There was a study done in 2018 by Stephen Van Vliet. And this study was focused specifically on protein intake for muscle recovery and the optimization of this. One of the things that stood out to me in this study was that they determined both nutritional and non-nutritional factors for optimal protein intake for muscle recovery. So just to break that down a bit more, in this peer-reviewed study, they used and took into account both nutritional value and non-nutritional value for an optimal piece of nutrition for a specific goal. The non-nutritional factors that they included in the study was availability of a specific protein, the cost of a specific protein, and preference of a specific protein. What they saw is the people that took into account the availability, cost, and preference, along with the actual protein content of what they were eating, found better results in the long term than people who only considered the nutritional value. What that tells me is when it comes to making a lifestyle change, we need to be taking the whole person into account. We need to factor in these non-nutritional factors, even if we are trying to change our nutrition, because it's not as simple as a certain food equaling a certain amount of grams of protein or a certain amount of grams of carbs or fat. We need to be enjoying our food to be able to have it for the rest of our life and find balance with it. Because who's going to eat, I'm just using this as an example, broccoli, chicken breast, and brown rice for every meal for the rest of their lives to hit a specific goal? Some people may, that's cool, but most people I know like food and like variety and have preferences, and that is okay. You can see amazing results while switching it up. So, if you take anything from today's podcast, please know that availability, cost, and preference in food has been scientifically shown to make a difference in your long-term success in your health goals. That's pillar number two. Number three is vitality. In my opinion, vitality should be the goal overall. That should be your health goal. I took a few definitions of vitality from the Merriam-Webster dictionary here. One of them that stood out to me is the power of enduring. And really, that's what gets us through life. We endure what we go through. But to do that, we have to have the strength to do so, the mental strength, the physical strength, the emotional strength, occupational and financial strength. Again, that holistic lens I'm pulling back into the conversation. To me, vitality is about living well for a very long time. Not just surviving, but living well. There is a difference. The second definition I pulled from Merriam-Webster Dictionary for vitality is the capacity to live and develop. So connecting to what I was just saying, you want to be able to live well, to develop in your environments well. And underneath all of that, you need the strength and the power and the energy to do so. This strength, this power, it needs to last a lifetime. So finding short-term solutions isn't going to work for vitality. This is why it is one of my pillars. I work with people who want to live well for a very long time. And so we work past those, the urge to crash diet and see those quick results. We do the deeper work so you can see results in the long term. Pillar four is empowerment. I pulled another definition from Merriam-Webster Dictionary. They defined empowerment as the state of being empowered to do something, or the power, right, or authority to do something. Now, when I work with my clients and when I'm working on myself, I usually have a specific goal I am working towards. One of the biggest ones in the past for me was to decrease my A1C levels or to improve my blood sugar levels. So I needed to empower myself to be able to hit that goal. And so empowerment is a big conversation I have. In fact, I have a whole 12-week course on mind-body confidence that really encompasses empowerment to have the power to move towards a specific goal and to overcome the barriers that will come with the journey. Every health journey has barriers. That is normal. That's expected. And we actually should be preparing for that. And that's a piece of the empowerment I talk about with my clients. What barriers have we had in the past? How can we prepare for them? How can we overcome them? How do you know you have the strength to overcome them? And we go through those type of questions to ensure that you start to build that confidence in yourself, that you can move through it. And what I like about empowerment and the next pillar, which is scale, is that they tie in. All of the five steps can be used for one specific goal. Now, let's say you reach that goal. So for me, back in the day, was getting my A1C levels to a place where I was not pre-diabetic. I was able to do that. I hit that goal. That's great. I move through this five-step method. Now, how do I keep going? That's where the fifth step comes in, and that is scale. Scale is referring to moving all of the pillars you have just completed onto the next goal. Because again, we're talking about a lifelong process. Now that I was, you know, in a place where my blood sugars were good, I wanted to feel more confident in my body. And so I went back to the beginning. I went back to mindfulness, went through optimization, specifically for feeling good in my body. Went into vitality. I went into empowerment. So scaling is all about literally moving the scale over to the next goal. It doesn't just end there. And sometimes for people, when we get to the end of this five-step method, scaling is just keeping up with what you're doing because it feels good. Because you've reached a place where your blood sugars are good, and that was your only goal. You feel good in your body. You're good. So now how do we continue? And usually by this state, we've gotten this level of confidence to know we can reach a goal, and we're empowered to move on to the next thing, or we're empowered to continue our habits or refine them in a way that will last a long time. So that is the five-step method, the MOVE method that I use here at Connectivity. And again, I use this for my own goals as well. You can use this over and over and over again. You can pause in certain sections. You can take your time and then move on later on if you have a new goal that comes up. And you keep refining. One thing I want to mention before we stop our chat today is we have different seasons of life. In our different seasons of life, we have different goals, we have different circumstances. So sometimes we have to go back in and refine what's going on. Sometimes we have to go back to that M, back to mindfulness, see what's going on, and then optimize based on how your life is changing. Maybe your work schedule changed, maybe you're planning to have a family. Maybe you're grieving, whatever it may be. That's okay. We go in with an open heart, open mind. We become aware. We optimize. Then we think of the long-term goal. That's where vitality comes in. Work through our confidence and empower ourselves to move through. And then, of course, if we want to scale and move on to the next goal, there we go. It's just a circle. It goes on and on. So that is how I've helped many women reach their specific goals, whether it was weight loss, whether it was feeling confident in their bodies, whether it was to improve their A1C, to manage diabetes, to even deal with things like chronic pain and arthritis. This method can be used in any of those scenarios, in any health goal. And I'm always happy to chat with you on how you can make the MOVE method work for you. You can visit me at Connectivity on Instagram or connectivity.thinkific.com. I have my courses on there. I will have my ebook on pre-diabetes reversal up on there very soon. And of course, you can always come back to listen to the podcast. Thank you again for joining me today, and we will talk next week.